Join me in Psalm 89, please. Psalm 89. The first portion of this psalm is a hymn. Through verse 18 is a hymn. And then starting at verse 19 is an oracle, or actually the re-teaching of the covenant. And then when we get to verse 38, it changes to a lament psalm, a psalm of mourning. So a rather complex psalm in its pieces, but incredibly, incredibly deep as well in its message. The psalmist writes, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You crush Rahab like a carcass. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all that is in it, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon joyously praise your name. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand. High your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor our horn is exalted, for our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Of old you spoke in a vision to your godly one and said, I have granted help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil I have anointed him, so that my hand shall be established with him, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, the wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall be his horn be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I establish his offspring forever and his throne as the days of the heavens. If his children forsake my law, do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgressions with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the words that went forth from my lips. Once for all I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His offspring shall endure forever, his throne as long as the sun before me. Like the moon, it shall be established forever, a faithful witness in the skies. But now you have cast off and rejected. You are full of wrath against your anointed. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. You have defiled his crown in the dust. You have breached all his walls. You have laid his strongholds in ruins. All who pass by plunder him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the edge of his sword, and you have not made him stand in battle. You have made his splendor to cease and cast his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth. You have covered him with shame. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is? For what vanity you have created all the children of man. What man can live and never see death? Who can deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, O Lord, how your servants are mocked, and how I bear in my heart the insults of all the many nations, with which your enemies mock, O Lord, with which they mock the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. To the Jewish people of old and even today, there is a Hebrew word that stands above the rest when discussing the character and the nature of God. This word this Hebrew word describes an attribute of God that is at the very core of his being. That Hebrew word is hesed, H-E-S-E-D, hesed. When we translate hesed into the English language, we typically see it as the steadfast love or unfailing love. This word hesed is a very powerful, deep-seated, deep-meaning word that I hope we have a greater appreciation of by the time we finish this message. Hesed. There may be no more significant description of how God relates to his people than this Hebrew word hesed. It can also be translated as loyal love. God loves his people genuinely. God loves his people unchangeably. God loves his people loyally. This word hesed is both love and loyalty wrapped together. Because you see, true love cannot be shared on an impulse. And one cannot truly be loyal without love. And so this word hesed, long the steadfast love of God, the unfailing love of God, is a word that, as I said, is at the very core of God's character and his being. We understand that God is for his people and he will never cease being for his people in this word hesed. Also, we must bring into our discussion here of this word hesed, of steadfast love, the covenant. It is a covenantal love. The covenant God made with Abraham, with Noah, with David, and we see that covenant fulfilled in the work of Jesus Christ. It is a steadfast, secure covenant that is based in God's character, and it cannot ever be revoked. And this covenant God made with his people is derived simply out of his love for a people. Hesed, steadfast love. If you have any Jewish friends, stop them and ask them to define hesed. And they possibly could talk for hours. Steadfast love, hesed. We see it in our text, I think seven different times it is mentioned in Psalm 89. But one might ask, what is the difference between agape love that we see in the Greek language of the New Testament and this Hebrew love, steadfast love, hesed? What is the difference? Well, first of all, agape love is a sacrificial love. It is a sacrificial love that a Christian is to have for everyone. Sacrificial love. Love the Lord your God. Agape love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Agape love. Love your enemies. Agape love. It is a sacrificial love given simply because we are commanded to do so. Hesed, on the other hand, is, as I said, a covenantal love. The covenantal love that God has for his people. It's not the same as agape. Yes, Jesus Christ, agape, you love you in his sacrifice. And we will get into that in just a moment. But hesed and agape are not the same. Hesed, steadfast love of God, is a love God has for his people and his people alone. You've heard some ministers, teachers, etc., teach that God loves everyone. That is true to an extent. He has an agape love for all of his creation. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. He provides us with air to breathe, provisions for life, etc., etc. So there is an aspect of love for everyone. But when we talk about the steadfast love of God, that covenantal love of God, it is for one people and one people alone. And that's his elect. That's his church. Exodus 34, we probably find the best biblical definition of hesed. Moses writes, "The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love," hesed, "and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." See, all of that is wrapped up in that one word. All of that is consumed in that one relational, covenantal word that God has for you, for me, as believers in Jesus Christ. A steadfast love that can never, ever be removed, can never be revoked. And this glorious attribute of God's, the hesed, is what the psalmist is writing about here in Psalm 89. He says, "I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord?" During the offertory, you probably recognize Susan playing, "Great is thy faithfulness." Faithfulness is a byproduct of God's steadfast love. He can do no other. He can be no other than faithful. Faithful to himself, faithful to his people, faithful to his promise. The steadfast love is a covenant love God has toward his people. This covenant made with the people, God desires to have a people that will reflect his love and live in this love. Now, you see, as I said, this psalm first started with a hymn. The first 18 verses is simply a hymn praising the wonder and the amazement of God and his steadfast love. And then, starting in verse 19, we move to that one that is anointed, King David. One that is anointed that will reflect this love, this steadfast love, even the agape love, to a fallen world. Here God expects his anointed. He says, "I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil. I have anointed him so that my hand shall be established with him. My arm also strengthen him. The enemy will not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him," etc., etc. God expected David, King David, to reflect this idea of steadfast, hesed love to the covenant people. David was God's image bearer to this kind of compassionate, covenantal love that was to be reflected. He expected David to live in that steadfast love and to reflect this love to a people. He calls on you and I to do the same thing. You are a person of the covenant. The church is a person of the covenant. You are a recipient of this steadfast love, and that can never change. And our work, our anointing, as my mother likes to say, you've been anointed to do that special work. And that anointing means that we go out and we share, we reflect that kind of love to a fallen world. And living and reflecting this steadfast love, God said without hesitation that he will provide for his people, that he would strengthen them, he would protect them, discipline and correct as well, and also encourage. And notice the loyalty. Remember I said the steadfast love is a combination of the love, but loyalty. Something the world needs to hear a lot of today, loyalty. Join me in verse 29 if you have your Bibles open. Verse 29, it shows of God's discipline, but it also shows His loyalty to His covenant. Verse 29, I will establish His offspring, King David, I will establish His offspring forever, and His throne as the days of the heaven. But then notice this, if His children forsake my law, and do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgressions with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. We go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and we are taught that even this discipline is an act of God's love. Even this discipline of transgression and sin is a proof. Have you been disciplined by God? Have you been disciplined in some way for your transgressions? Everybody do this, one way, form, or another. That shows that God loves you. If you weren't disciplined, it would be Him saying, I don't care. Why do you discipline your children? Have you seen my kids? No. Why do you discipline your children? Because you love them. Because you love them. Here God says, if your children forsake my law, I will punish them with a rod, not time out. But then notice verse 33. Remember, we're speaking of loyalty. Loyalty to the covenant. Loyalty to this steadfast love. He says, I will punish them, but in verse 33, but I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. Folks, in the bulletin you see words of assurance. In the confessional time of prayer, next month you will find this passage. Because this should encourage us to great heights. As I said in the confessional prayer today, yes, our sin saddens us. It disappoints God. He is saddened. We should mourn our sin. But there should also be an incredible level of hopefulness. Because God said, yes, He will punish your sin. But He will not remove you from from His covenant. What He said to King David here, He is saying to you as well. He is saying to you as well. He cannot deny His covenant. If God denied His covenant, then He would no longer be God, because He's denying His very nature and character of Himself. Hesed, steadfast love. Well, we all know the story of King David. And yes, he was given this tremendous position as the head of Israel and to be that king, which represented the line of which Jesus would eventually come from. And he was to be the one who reflected this love to the people. David didn't do so good. David didn't do so well. And here you see, beginning in verse 38, David says, but now you have cast off and rejected, you are full of wrath against your anointed. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. You have defiled his crown to the dust. And he goes on and on and on for about 15 verses. David is blaming God for failing in the covenant. David, you need to think through this a little bit. Let's go back to verse 30. God told him. Said, look, if your children break my laws, I'm going to punish you. David, you broke my law. And so there was punishment. And you know the story of David's family and the turmoil that lasted the remainder of King David's life. But then also, how did God refer to King David? As the apple of his eye. Because the loyalty is still there. The loyalty is still there. Yes, here David is blaming God in his short-sightedness. He is blaming God for rejecting him, turning him around, uplifting his enemies, etc., etc. But look at verse 52. After he finishes his little tirade, look at verse 52. One single statement. Blessed be the Lord forever. He gained his footing. We know it was not God who turned away, but it was David who sinned against God, and his children sinned against God. But God was only doing what he said he would do. And you see, God cannot overlook sin. God cannot say, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it. It was just a little white lie, don't worry about it. He cannot do that. And we would not, we should not expect him. Because if God would just say, okay, oh, don't worry about that, then if we are belittling sin, making sin less, we're also making God less at the same time. We, and see, this is going to be hard to understand. We want our sin to offend. And that sounds really weird, doesn't it? But it offends because of his holiness, and it offends because of our depravity. And it shows again our incredible need of that hesed of God. David's descendants did not remain on the throne. Solomon came. The two sons of Solomon came and they split the kingdom. Part of it went off into captivity. A little later, another part of it went off into captivity. They returned, but it was never the same. So was God wrong when he said here in this psalm, that he said, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations? Remember, God is loyal. And he is made of truth. He is the truth. And we see that in Jesus Christ. So was he wrong here when he told King David, I will establish your throne forever? No, of course he was not. And as we have been in this short series of messianic psalms, you know where this is headed. You know where this is headed. We know that the fulfillment of this psalm and the truest reflection of this hesed, of this steadfast love, is found in the person of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who is the firstborn over all creation. It is Jesus Christ who is highest in all of creation and the kings of all the earth. It is Jesus Christ who has fulfilled the covenant that God has made with the people, because his throne will endure forever. It is Jesus Christ who demonstrates the Father's steadfast love and faithfulness to a covenant people. If you call on Jesus Christ as Lord, if you have bowed before him and confessed your sin and said, Lord, take me as your son, as your daughter, I accept you as Lord, then you are a recipient of this steadfast love, this covenantal love, that exceeds the agape love that we have for our neighbors, exceeds the agape we have for our enemies. It is that covenantal love that God has for you, that relational love that he has for you, that can never, ever, ever be taken away. And Jesus Christ brought all of that to conclusion when he gave his life on that cross. So here in this psalm, we see Jesus Christ. Even the struggles, even this lament of the last third of the psalm where David is railing against God for rejecting him and casting him. What did Jesus say from the cross? My God, why have you rejected? Why have you turned away? In his humanity there for a moment, he felt the rejection of the entire world, even his Father. He was the king who came and was rejected to the point of death. But even this was to fulfill the promise of the covenant and to make the words of this psalm even more true. This psalm was written to and about King David. And he is a foreshadow of the coming of Jesus Christ. And it is out of his line that Jesus is born. But we are also represented here because this covenant is made with a people, and it is made with the church. It is made with you and I. We are the children here referred to. and in our sin we will be punished. But because of the hesed, the steadfast love of God, the covenantal love of God, it cannot be removed. His favor can never, ever be taken away from the church. To make a point even stronger, go with me to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Very familiar passage. Chapter 8 begins, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." You understand that lack of condemnation a little bit fuller now because of the hesed of God. He cannot condemn you because of his unfailing love and faithfulness to you. But then in verse 31, he says, Paul writes, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Echoing the steadfast love. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also give with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, and who is at the right hand of God. Who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Do you hear the hesed language behind this? Do you hear the teaching of the steadfast love behind this? "Who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are being killed all the day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you hear Psalm 89 kind of laying in the background behind there? That steadfast, unfailing love that God has, that covenant that he has made with you. Paul is simply writing that there is nothing that can take you away from the love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Now in the Greek language, that word in Romans 8:38 is agape. It is that word agape. So it is that sacrificial love of Christ. But that sacrificial love of Christ is mounted in that steadfast love, that unfailing love, that hesed love of God that we find in the Old Testament. So we, just like Paul should say, and know in our hearts, in all these things, come what may, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Because one who loved us, the hesed, the unfailing, the steadfast love of God. As Steve said in Sunday school, this should bring us to shouting. This should bring us to shouting. Because folks, because of this, eternity is set. Eternity is set. You are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus right now. And one day you will stand there, bow there, kneel there, and understand the full capacity of this love that God has for you. Right now we only have a faint shadow of it. But one day we will know it in full.